Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the...
Well, hello, everybody. Today is Tuesday, August 26th. I want to let you know that we're going to have a few people on. Rusty is, he will be here, pretty sure. I just had to call and confirm, which I did. And he's doing a photo shoot right now, but we'll be calling him in a little bit. We're going to talk to Annie from the American Soldier Network. We're going to talk shoes. If you guys remember last year, we did the shoe drive. Like the 17,000 pairs of shoes in 3 weeks. We're going to have another gentleman on from the Risen Dead MC. He's the president. His name is Jack Irish Garrett. He'll be on. There's another gentleman. I don't remember the name. I apologize for that. But we're going to get through this. Bill will be here tonight. He's on his way. Switch bikes. Drop the bagger. He's on a diner. So he'll be here in a few. Let's see. Yeah, tonight we're going to talk about some people from the American Soldier Network. You guys remember last year when we did the shoe drive. There's a few things going to happen. I challenged, if you guys remember, when Bill did the celebration of life for Kathy a week before she died, I challenged all the clubs that were at the event for shoes. I stopped to see him today, confirm he's coming, and seemed like 4 boxes of shoes already. So it's a good start. See. There's a video I wanted to play you guys. Let me see if I can locate it real quick. This is going to be the second annual Show Your Soul by Giving Your Soul Shoe Drive. So I'll let KO and Annie and Rusty tell you what's going on.
The second annual Show Your Soul by Donating Your Soul Shoe Drive. By donating slightly used shoes, we collect 25 pairs per hefty trash bag, and all the shoes come in, and then they're actually sent to third world countries. Any kind of shoes, boots, kids, boys, girls, adults, you, lend your shoes. We get 40 cents per pound into American Soldier Network so we can continue our outreach for our veterans. Our veterans include our kids coming home now, our kids that are deploying again because we're still in conflict, and then we cover our veterans of all eras, so from Korea, World War II, all the way down to Uganda. Our efforts are to outreach throughout the year for all of our veterans. American Soldier Network, they don't have employees. They are an all-volunteer, non-profit 501c3. So you know when your donation goes into the hands of American Soldier Network, it's going right into exactly where it's supposed to go. We've kicked it off already, and the actual shoe-in party, like last year, will be November 9th here in Illusion Cycles with Rusty and KO. We'll have the Army again here this year. Last year we did 17,000 pairs in 3 weeks, and here we are August, and we have told them overnight. We have Harley Davidson down in San Diego, two stores, the Indian Motorcycle Club, the LA Film School. We've got people jumping on board all over already to collect shoes. The Rhythm Dead Motorcycle Club's mother chapter in Houston has chapters from Chicago to Texas. And if there's people out there that want to be shoe drop-off locations, mail us at info@americanchildrennetwork.org, and we'll try to get their name and address and how they want to collect shoes. It's a public way you can come out and say thank you, but it's also a public way that your shoes can give back to those that are doing so much for our country. Family or not, find some shoes.
What I'll do is I'll post that link in the chat room for you guys, and it's already on on my Facebook page if you want to check it out. But there's a lot of good stuff going on. And there, I just put in the link for it. There you go. There's one more. Let me see if I can locate it real quick.
The second annual.
This is the other video. So basically we're waiting for Bill right now. Let me see if I can get this to play.
One World Media Network in the world, for the world, in association with Red Carpet TV and OCTV.
Hellraisers and Humidor's party here at Illusion Cycles. We've got kitty catchers here, you know, our dog charity and cat care charity. We have people coming in and donating $500 a person. In return, they also get a $700 gift bag of goodies.
Way more than $700.
Is it more than that?
Yes.
Plus there's about $8,000 in prizes that we're giving away. So it's been good.
Yeah, we really want to throw some love at kitty catchers. Rusty and I definitely agree they were worthy of this kind of attention and love, and certainly the donations.
Rusty's a cool cat, and they've been our good friends since the beginning with Sanj. And anytime my friends are hiring something, I'm here to support, man. You know, Rusty's a cool cat. You been inside? It's beautiful, man. He's a beautiful shot.
Cigars International, they went and got licensed with FX. To sell Sons of Anarchy products.
It's a top-of-the-line cigar product. The leather humidor itself is lined with Spanish cedar. It's quite a more upscale humidor, and it has the Sons of Anarchy logos embroidered on them. They have a double guillotine cutter, a lighter it's a torch lighter. The torch lighter itself is quite interesting.
Have you tried the cigars, Sons of Anarchy cigars? They're very, very good. I mean, they have the Canelo ones, and they're really, really good. They're really smooth, and I suggest you get those SOA cigars.
And Rusty is such a huge supporter of American Children Network, and I'm such a huge dog lover, and have Eddie and Hazel on my Ridgeback. We had to come out and support anything that they do, but especially when it comes to these animals. I have not smoked a cigar yet. I'm not a big partaker, but it might get a little green around the edges. And I'll do that in private. Kitty Catchers, in a similar fashion as American Soldier Network, they don't have employees. They're an all-volunteer, non-profit 501c3.
All the money goes directly to the animals, and that means a lot because a big organization, it gets lost. We don't want to be dealing with that. We want it to be effective.
They deserve it. They really deserve it.
Yeah, so let me see what's going on here. We got some, well, hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Fine. Good.
You? Good.
Yeah, everything's good. We're just,
good.
We're going to have on, Rusty, but, he's doing a photo shoot right now, so I have to call him in a little bit.
Okay.
And, I'm going to have Annie on with a guy by the name of Jack Irish Garrett.
Okay.
He's the founder of the Risen Dead MC, my understanding. And Annie's with American Soldier Network. We're going to be looking for some shoes again. So we got from now until November 9th. Last year we did 17,000 pairs in 3 weeks. So we'll see what we can do this year.
That's okay, because I'm doing everything in my end to help.
Okay. I'll be back.
Okay.
Oh, but this is Nora out of Chicago. Say hello.
Hi.
Okay, I'll be back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We've got, hello, 309. You calling from Southern Illinois somewhere? Did you want to talk or listen? Okay. I think they just want to listen. We got a caller from 702.
Yes, 702. Hello.
Hello. Did you want to talk or just listen?
I'll speak. This is Jack Garrett.
Okay.
The founder of the Risen Dead MC.
How you doing, Jack?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Good. We're waiting on my partner. He's closing up his shop. He'll be here in a little bit. He switched from a bagger to a diner today, so I'm thinking he's having a little trouble riding that diner.
Oh, what a shame.
So, Rusty was going to be first, but he's in the middle of a photo shoot, so it's going to be you, me, Bill when he gets here, Annie, and a couple other people. So I'm just waiting for a few things to go down, but let me see. I'm not sure if Annie's calling on Skype or not. Let me check this out. I'll be right back, Jack.
You got it.
Hello, caller on Skype? Hello? Someone calling on Skype? You're live.
I'm in the queue.
Yeah, I saw you. I just unmuted you. You can talk.
I'm not on Skype. I'm on the regular line.
Oh, it came up. Oh, okay. It just came up with a Skype number. That's no problem. So, yeah, basically what happened was Rusty, you know, he had that photo shoot, so we're going to... We're going to wing it until he gets... I got to call him in a little bit. But I'm waiting for Bill. So basically what I'll do right now then, and Bill could probably ask some questions when he gets here. But Jack, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Risen Dead MC?
You're going to give a bunch of bikers a chance to wing it live?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Let me tell you, Irish can chat, so just let him roll, baby.
Nice way of saying it. I don't want to shut up.
Hey, well, hey, Jack, we wing it all the time too. Believe me, I'm the guy that does all the technical shit, and Bill does all the talking. So it's very rare to hear me talk. Trust me.
Well, it's very word of edgewise between me and Andy. So I appreciate the invite. The Risen Dead, we're kind of a unique club. We're one of the few international clubs. Presences in Canada, the U.S., and we're talking to a couple of chapters overseas in Europe. And originally, the way the club came together in its infancy was just a group of Freemasons, but also happened to be bikers. And we were sitting around and, you know, we discussed at length the fact that as a community, the biker community, the MC community, does so much, you know, so much in the way of philanthropic endeavors, so much in the way of relief efforts, charitable efforts. And Freemasons, you know, throughout history have worked tirelessly towards, you know, helping the fellow man, relief, you know, promoting brotherhood, love, brotherly love, brotherhood. So we really just saw this strong overlap as far as the personality type of the individuals in both groups, but a huge disconnect as far as knowledge about the two groups. And so we decided that, you know, since bikers work so hard to help others and Masons work so hard to help others, this was a ready-made group of people to kind of bring Freemasonry to and let them see what Masonry is about, and vice versa. You know, let some of the Masons that were a little bit more tenuous about the biker and the MC community, let them see that, you know, this is what the MC community really is, not what is portrayed on the majority of primetime television. That was the brain stroke behind it in its infancy. And not all of our members are Freemasons. We're open to all, but we're very selective in who we allow to hang around and who we allow to prospect with us. But it just seemed like a ready niche that we kind of stepped into, and the response has just been overwhelming, to be frank. None of us expected the growth that we've seen, and probably one of the biggest challenges over the last 2 years has been trying to contain that growth and make sure that it's slow and steady with the right individuals, and keeping our principles and our ideals at heart. So.
Yeah, because sometimes you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Absolutely. And, you can prospect and hang around. You can have all these time frames and periods, but, you really want to make sure that the guy that you're riding with has your back, and you want to make sure that he's somebody that you'd be willing to have their back. I'm proud of my chapters. They've done an excellent job of finding really, really good guys. And standing up the chapters the right way, showing all due respect. We are a traditional club, and so we make sure that we've tried our best to follow the protocol set down before us. And really pleased to see the way it's grown. It's been done the right way, I think.
Good for you. A lot of times, these out here in California, it seems in the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years, there's a new one every day.
Yep.
And have a clue.
Well, and that's, we don't have anything against the guys that come in that really haven't been exposed to the MC community before, but this really is, no matter what colors you fly, this is a huge family. And, I just encourage people when they're looking at clubs or whatever to really think about it. I tell people, would you bring them home to mom and dad at Christmas dinner?
Yeah.
Because when you bring somebody around clubs, that's what you're doing. You're exposing your family to these people, and you want to make sure that they have the right ideas and interests and goals or motives at heart, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times, like I've been dealing with this for 40-something years of my life, and I hooked up with a guy about 30 years ago. It's my partner Billy, does the show with me, and he's been on a little hiatus with some family issues and some medical issues, and he's gonna stop by today. So it's he might have a few more questions for you, which I'm pretty sure. Few more questions, but the thing is, like, I get approached all the time. I'm the rights guy. I'm the guy that wants you to know what's up, and basically, where I live, I'm the thorn in their side, and they've actually went in and talked to Bill at the shop and told basically. He's got a couple of good mechanics and stuff, and a lot of guys trust these guys with their bikes. So the police department told all their employees that they were no longer allowed to go there.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's really sad. I've had 7 guys taken off their motorcycles in the last 3 years due to neglect on their part. But it's kind of a strange thing. In California, we have 2.3 million registered motorcycles. And if I could get everybody to do, say, we got the helmet law here, but in order to change that, if I could get 50,000 people just one day not to wear a helmet, I'd shut down the court system for 6 months. That's where my goal is, as well as to keep people informed of what's going on. But...
You talk about that. I think it's really a shame that the MC community as a whole, I think they don't recognize the strength that we really have.
No,
as far as numbers and the abilities that we have to change things that intrusive or, you know, problematic. We have that ability, but it requires everybody to unite and speak with one voice. You can't have 40 different people screaming for 40 different things from 40 different mountaintops, you know, and I applaud your efforts. I think that's the only way things are going to change. Either, you know, hit them in the pocketbook, and all of a sudden people start listening.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's weird. We've got a fledgling chapter that they've contacted us, and they've wanted to petition in Cali to stand up a chapter down there, and we're having basic conversations with them now. And but I can tell you, if that does come to fruition, you'll have a group down in the South that'll certainly line up and follow. Because we believe strongly that whatever rights you don't exercise, you'll lose.
Exactly. I mean, it's 9 out of 10 people, they'll pay the ticket, forget about it. I'm that one guy.
Yep.
I'm that one guy.
Yep.
I want to know why. I want to know, you know, we go in and pound the drum on their desk. Because right now, basically, what they're doing here is they don't want any motorcycle clubs in Oceanside, period. But yet they have their Iron Order, they have their Blue Knights, they have their I forget the name of the Bill knows some guys. It just popped up a couple weeks ago, but I forget the name of it. They're running blue and white colors like the Blue Knights, but I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, that's where we're headed with these guys.
Wow.
You know,
they're okay with LE, but.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
If you run other colors, it's an issue.
Yeah, and the funny part about it is everything that they give us tickets for, they're running the same shit. They got it from Bill.
Yeah.
They bought the shit from Bill. So, it's crazy. But, you know, it's like the first line of defense is the military. Second line of defense is your police departments. Third line of defense is the vets.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that.
Well, I think in a lot of instances, people have been convinced through time, through the media, through whatever medium you want to point the finger at, but they've been convinced that they can't change things, that it is the way it is. It's just go along with it and keep your head in the sand and pretend that everything's all right.
Yeah.
And that slow erosion, things don't change dramatically over a year or two or three. It's a slow erosion of your civil liberties. It's a slow erosion of the things that you enjoy and the rights that you have. And all of a sudden you wake up and you look around and you're wearing helmets and you have to have tats and you have to have a front fender you might as well be driving a Yugo. And it's that slow erosion. It's that desensitization to what's happening around you, I think, that is the scariest thing happening right now.
Yeah, we just got joined by my partner Phil Kennedy. Bill, this is Irish Jack Garrett, and we have Annie from the American Soldier Network on the line. Why don't you say hello to you,
Jack? Jack, Annie, hello. Listen,
hey, how are ya?
Guys, you know, Jack, what you're talking about is we can't change it. We can do the best we can, but we can't change it. Phil and I have made a lifetime program here trying to get things done right, and unfortunately for Phil and I, we have to spend more time riding in Mexico, a foreign country, for us to get freedom, no helmets, no problems, no tickets. Every time we go, for example, one second, Jack. Phil, how many times have you been contact stopped or this year?
This year? 59
times. So why don't we quit riding the motorcycle? We're not going to quit riding the motorcycle. When Phil and I find something's out of line.
Last year was 99. I thought I'd break 100, but they wouldn't pull me over that 100th time.
Phil and I have no compunction with going down to the police station and have meetings with the chief of police. Now, I'm not adversarial against the police department. I'm not trying to get anybody fired. I'm trying to say that when some officer is out of line, it's up to us, the taxpayer, especially up to us, the bikers here at Oceanside. We have to meet with the chief. We have to meet with this officer. We have to say to him, this is not right. You're spending all this time and getting stupid tickets for a helmet, which gets beaten anyway. We need crime stopped. if we can get more people involved in going down to the police station, speaking to the police without getting crazy, speaking to them and saying, I'm a taxpayer.
Well, the first part, Bill, is, you know, like I said.
You cause shit. No, you cause shit. I'm the one that. I said, well, we go in there. There's a beautiful community conference room, big table. About 20 people can fit there and communicate, dialogue, communication with two more people. When Phil and I go down there, where do we go, brother?
They put us in an interrogation room and tell us that they turn the heat on and then tell us that they're not filming or recording us, but we can see the red lights. Even the guy sitting across me has got a red dot in his lapel, but I'm not supposed to know he's recording us.
We can't even get a room with a window, for Christ's sakes. They don't want the public seeing what we're doing. We're not trying to change anything that's bad. I mean, that's good, excuse me. We're trying to make our town a little bit better. And I do not think that being adversarial with the police helps. Facing them, explain what you're doing. That's why you stand up. You get a stupid ticket, you don't just eat it. You say, I think I'm right. I'm going to go down and I'm going to explain my case as an American citizen to this judge who's an American citizen. We need more people across this country that will say, I want to stand up for my rights.
Well, and these guys are along the lines of that.
That's what you're telling me, yeah.
Because these guys are according to Annie, are right here pretty soon. So they're working on, he said, South, which is us, they're working on a chapter here, bringing them into their club. So
I'm sorry, you're talking about bringing the existing chapter, passing
I
over?
I think that's what it was. Is that what you meant, Jack?
We have a couple of guys down there that have approached us and asked about standing up a chapter down there. We've still got to do our due diligence and vet them first before we move any farther forward. But there's a lot of interest in Southern California, and I think it warrants us looking at it. And they're a good group of guys from what we've seen so far. So you never know. Like I said, if it comes to fruition, you'll certainly have a voice in the South to support you. You know, we're all about exercising our rights legally and making sure that they don't get you don't sacrifice your civil liberties for the sake of convenience. You don't sacrifice your civil liberties out of fear, because once they're gone, you will not get them back.
Right.
So
not to shift gears here, but we have Annie. Annie, you're unmuted, but what I'd like to do now is
Wait. Excuse me. Where's Jack from? What state, please?
Jack's from New York.
New York. And where's Annie from?
Jack's from Texas.
No, I'm with the Mother Chapter in North Houston, Texas.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Tejas. Okay. Tejanos.
Because we have Brad Bear Borst. I know he's in New York. Let me unmute him.
He's New York Chapter.
He's actually one of the Furious Nine that, along with Jack, started the Risen Dead Motorcycle Club.
Oh, okay.
Correct. You went through all the sweat and tears with us.
Hard to believe that little Annie runs around with these boys, huh?
You've seen the big guys you run around with, and don't worry about it. You're okay. You're in good company. Trust me.
Annie, there's always a rose in the middle of the thorns. I found that out years ago.
Believe it or not, they had my mom bartending at their clubhouse over 4th of July.
There you go.
Yeah,
Annie,
you know?
There's some secrets, you know. There's some things we just don't openly talk about.
See, I was thinking about asking a lot of questions. I said, let them all go. Let all those questions go. No, we'll go. So what did we say? We got Brad. Brad, you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Brad, where are you calling me from, please?
I'm sorry?
What state?
I'm in New York right now.
Okay. Welcome to the Phil and Bill Show. I'm Bill, obviously, and Phil is talking. What's on your mind tonight?
Annie had Annie and Rusty, or Annie with Rusty, had talked to the club about this charity drive that they're doing and collecting the shoes and helping out the our veterans from not just the current conflicts, but going back as far back as World War II veterans. And, as a club, we decided that it was a truly phenomenal idea. You know, we decided as a club that we would try and take this out and beyond the borders of California and into Texas and into New York and other places where we have friends or contacts with in Chicago and Boston and you know, places like that. So we're helping Annie and Rusty spread the word and collect shoes, and you know, that's right now, that's our main, you know, until November anyway, that's going to be our main, that's one of our main focuses, is to try and help them get as much as they can to help our veterans and our warriors downrange when they come home.
And guys, just so that you know, Brad happens to be a veteran, so a big thank you to him for his service to our country as well.
Outstanding. Four Army, Brad. Navy, where are you at?
Marine Corps.
There you go, Bill.
Yeah.
There you go. We got you.
I'm always an army of one.
Where were you?
Nobody ever calls in from the Army. Just them. All right, all right. You know, one thing we want to talk about is, now, of course, we know Rusty and the boys for 20-plus years, but Phil and I are very, very feminist about reminding everybody, if you're going to help any veterans organization, do some research, find out where every penny goes. For every dollar they collect, how much goes back to the veterans, how much goes back to the organization. If you're working
right
with an organization and you think too much is going back to the organization, not the veterans, pull your ass out of it. There's ways
well,
you can find
out.
We did a little research,
and you know, not talking about Annie, but with the Ice Bucket Challenge, and we found out that the current recipients of the Ice Bucket Challenge donations, you know, their salaries, their annual salaries for their top people, their top 10 or 12 people, on average are over our six-figure numbers. You know, so, and that's obscene.
You know,
at least in my opinion, it's obscene that, you know, if you're doing research for somebody, why does your director of marketing need $150,000 salary? You know, if you're supposed to be doing this to help somebody.
We found out about the Wounded Warriors Project. Their guy that started it is an attorney who gets a seven-figure salary yearly. And they pick and choose who they want to help.
Yeah.
See, Phil and I are vets. All we want to do is we want to help vets. Vets helping vets is pretty damn
right.
Basic with us. We work the VA hospitals. We work any organization that we think is helping the vets. For all those people out there that are making money off the vets,
shame on you.
You better believe shame
yeah.
on you.
But and one of the beautiful things about American Soldier Network is everybody that does work with them as a volunteer. There is every dime that they get in goes to help the veterans. And you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you can't look at it and not want to get involved in it to help that. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate what you're doing there. And you know what, I definitely want to point out again, we keep saying veterans, anybody listen to us, we are not forgetting the women veterans. Philip and I have, perhaps I'm the one as a tendency.
You know, Bill, right now, people in France, Australia, Germany, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Thailand, Brazil, and the United Kingdom, as well as...
Hey, I've got a Russian friend
India,
of mine that may call in tonight.
India, Turkey, the Ukraine, Canada, as well as Moldova.
I've got two Turkish people that may be calling in, they're going to listen, and I think for sure a friend of mine from Russia, by the way, very beautiful girl, not that it has anything to do with it, Irina, she may be calling in. Not that it has anything to do with it, I'm just sharing that information with everybody.
Side note.
Women vets here, I sometimes speak and I say veteran, I'm always including the women vets. I think it is an absolute shame in this country that we keep referring to veterans, and most of us think of men. I want to give you guys a small little story. It won't be long, I promise.
And there's also the families that serve alongside them, you know, that for every,
yes,
for every guy that serves, their families serve. And we actually, there's a young lady in Texas who
happens to be a Gold Star girl, and her daddy was killed in action, and she heard about the Risen Dead and their efforts in Texas, and she is collecting shoes in Texas and going to get them to North Houston for their efforts. And she's collecting shoes for American Soldier Network and is going to get them to Jack for his chapter so that her shoes can go down there and be a part of the efforts as well. So it's turned into an amazing thing that now that Texas has opened up as a collection area, this little girl in Texas and her gym, she's a gymnast, is collecting shoes so that she can give back, even though her daddy paid the ultimate sacrifice. So it's been awesome. And the kids are little heroes too. So it's not just the veteran who serves, but their families serve as well. And that's one cool thing about American Soldier Network. It's not only do we give back, but these families we give back to as well. So it's been really, really, the shoe drive has been an amazing effort. And the shoes end up going to a third world country. So we're not only helping our veterans with these shoes, we're helping people in third world countries that our men and women serve to protect as well. Are beneficiaries of our efforts as well. So it's a really cool pay it forward venture that, you know, we're helping people all over the world that aren't just our veterans. It's just kind of been an amazing outreach.
You know, this truly is helping people. I know that the shoes we're collecting, money's going to be given to the vets. The shoes going to go to a third world country. They're going to refurbish the shoes, teach them how to do that, then also give the shoes out to other people. But we're giving the people in the third world country a chance to learn a skill. The money
yes.
that we're
and then,
there,
so to start
the shoes.
To start entrepreneurship so that they can build a business and start their own way of life so that they can, you know, get a step up and not just, you know, a handout.
Exactly.
You know,
I own a motorcycle.
It's funny.
And I got no skills. So, the motorcycle gave me. There's people out there that need skills and need jobs. This is all about there. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I read all of you.
Somebody something and not give them a way to keep improving their life.
It's funny because when we were presented with this opportunity, there really wasn't any question about whether or not we would participate. It's incredible. If you spend 15 minutes around Annie listening to her talk about the American Soldier Network and about the shoe drive and the efforts that they're putting forward, her enthusiasm, her commitments, her passion is so contagious. You really, to walk away and not participate, you just have to be absolutely desensitized to anything. You know, we walked away very proud of the fact that we were allowed to be included, that we were offered this opportunity because it's such a great organization, but specifically because that passion, that enthusiasm, and that drive, to me at least, ensures the success of the movement. And like we were talking earlier, the transparency of the donations, and that's just an absolute testimony to Annie's character. And we're, like I said, we're just grateful to be able to be a part of this. So you know, much love, much thanks to Annie for letting us.
Let me go back to Annie for a second. Hey, tell me, how'd you hook up with Rusty? What's your background with Rusty?
With Rusty? Actually, Rusty and KO and I were at an event together up in L.A., and he had heard that I did things for the veterans, and we were chit-chatting back and forth, and he's like, well, you know, we want to get involved. We want to support you. We want to help you, and, you know, let's come up and let's do something. And he's like, what have you got going on? Let's do an event. I go, well, you know, and I don't know. I've got some stuff, and these people want me to do this shoe thing. And it was KO that said, shoes? What about shoes? And if anybody has ever met Rusty's wife, she's dynamite, and she loves shoes. And KO
has shoes, child.
What about shoes? And Rusty was like, no, shoes, no. We don't need to be buying shoes. And then KO was like, oh, honey. And then Rusty was like, what do we need to do with shoes? And the minute that he heard the concept of the shoes and what they were doing, Rusty was like, and I said, well, I don't have any place to store shoes. And, you know, we have zero paid staff, and we don't have a place to store shoes. And Rusty's like, I got this. We got this. And last year he went, I mean, the two of them went head over heels and pulled out all the stops. And he's like, we got the biker community. We got this. And we did 17,000 pairs of shoes in 3 weeks. And I had never really been around the biker community until I met Rusty and KO. And
they had the party, and we just went gangbusters for shoes. And there was a gentleman up in Northern California, well, up in the Victorville Barstow area, named Nick Benson, and he got some school kids involved, and those people up there raised 5,000 shoes in 3 weeks and brought them down, and I've never seen so many shoes. And KO and I were bagging and bagging and bagging, and we just had a blast. And it really brought us together, and everybody teased KO and I that we became the Soul Sisters, as in S-O-L-E.
And I got that.
We're doing this next year. I'm blonde. Sometimes I have to spell things out. But and then he said, next year we're doing this. And then relationship with everybody down in Texas, kind of flourished through the last year. And I met everybody with the Risen Dead through a mutual friend of mine. And everybody, nobody knows, but you guys, I'm taking my motor safety class this weekend. So I will learn how to ride a bike as of Saturday. And I just fell in love with the motorcycle community through Rusty and then through all my peeps down at the Risen Dead, and it's just kind of catapulted now this year with their commitment and learning the whole biker community and being around them and the loyalty and the family atmosphere. It's just been amazing. And then the Risen Dead came out here to support Rusty with his event that he had two weeks ago, with the Kitty Catchers event with the Hellraisers and Humidors. And so that friendship...
Did you talk to her... Phil was up there. You talked to her then? Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. I got a hug. And another hug.
Well, we should have won those hugs.
I
got to apologize. I was not at that event. I was at two funerals that day. And I just rode up by himself. One guy rode for 40 years, and the other guy was a young club guy. So I just didn't go up. I said, fuck it. But he went up there, and Phil, well, that's good about Phil and I being partners. We don't have to ride together. I can do some event down south in Mexico. He goes in L.A. So sometimes we're together, sometimes we're not. And he was up there for that fun. So
L.A. basically is the whole state, though.
Well, it's up and down. Up, you go north, I go south. East, west.
Sometimes we're together.
But Phil, me had a good part. You didn't tell me you met anybody up there.
Oh, I told you all about this.
Who are you talking about the event?
I told you about somebody. You always got to argue with me about
every damn thing we do here. You argue all the time. We never get anything done around here.
What I told you was...
Long story or short story? I'll take a little
nap. I told you was, Rusty, we're doing the shoes again.
But no, that event turned out awesome. And the guys, the sergeant-at-arms at the Mother Chapter from Houston flew out and with one of their prospects, and it turned out great. And the shoe thing kept going, and now we've got shoes happening.
Good.
Yeah.
Also, I talked to Emilio Rivera.
Emilio?
Yeah. From Sun.
I need to talk to you about that, but I'll talk to you about that off the air. But I won't see him until September 13th. They're still filming, but he's going to get the other side of the other community.
Uh-huh.
Hook up the other side. So we're going to hook up that side of that community too, Annie. So I want to triple what we got last year.
See, I want to use this as... I want to use this as a bridge of communication. Clubs out here are banging heads, and this could be a wonderful organization or a wonderful event where they can help, and maybe by meeting, again, dialogue is communication between two or more people. Maybe we get some out here to chill out a little bit and see if we can get along better. Maybe not.
Yeah.
So, how did you?
Are you stuttering? What's your problem? What's your problem?
Well, I wanted to know how Annie got started.
Why don't you just ask her that? Why are you stuttering?
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, Annie, how did you get all started in this?
In American Soldier Network?
Yes. Someone typed in a question. I'm relaying a question.
So a lot of times when we're talking, people from different areas are giving us questions, so we're forwarding the questions on to our guests.
Yeah, that question came
from... I had three Marines I was pen palling when we were in Iraq back in 2004. And one, his name was Jesse, that could write back the most because he was doing construction while the other two were on the infantry side of the house, stationed at Camp Pendleton, but they grew up in Illinois, which is where I was from. Where I grew up, I was born in Minnesota. And he and I would set our alarms and instant message, and I would send his unit all kinds of stuff back then, and it kind of snowballed. My friends, my family, my church, everybody would send this unit of Marines
stuff. And for 6 months, I called these guys my three, and I wore their dog tags, and that was like my extracurricular activity. And then on December 20th of 2004, I was notified that Jesse and Adam, my other pen pal, were sitting back-to-back. Jesse and Tyler were sitting back-to-back on a truck in a caravan in Fallujah, and they were hit by a suicide bomber. And I was told that Jesse didn't make it, and Ty was in Germany in really bad shape. And I didn't really know how to process that because I hadn't met Jesse in person, but for 6 months, that was like my boy. And I decided that I was going to bundle up all my letters and send them to Jesse's parents with a thank you letter because I didn't really know how to grieve him. So I did, and I sent his parents a thank you letter with all of my letters, and then I went on to try to focus on Ty. And I didn't hear anything back from his folks, and we had Christmas and we had New Year's, and then about 2 weeks after New Year's in 2005, I had a phone call, and it was Jesse's mom, and she, in a very stern voice, said, "Annie, this is Paula, Jesse's mom. I'm at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas. Jesse survived that blast. He's facing double amputation. He's burnt over 80% of his body. He's just woke from a coma, and he's asking for his pen pal. Will you come?"
Wow.
And so the next thing I know, the Marine Corps is flying me to Texas. I stayed at the Fisher House with Jesse and his family, and life changed as I knew it. And there's a lot more to the story, but... for me, God had a plan, and my life was about to change, and the American Soldier Network was about to be started, and life was about to happen for me to raise awareness and advocate for our veterans of all eras and to start turning my life into making life better for those that needed it and to start doing right by our veterans in a way that I felt I was supposed to be doing, and that's how it all started.
Perfect.
I tell people, you can't help yourself unless you help other people. I believe that.
I just feel that it was a calling, and I chose to listen, and that's kind of how it all started. So we have zero paid staff. I quit my job in the end of 2007, and I happened to be a PTSD survivor. I was a flight attendant back in 1994. I happened to be beat up by passengers on the plane in the air. And suffered post-traumatic stress from that. Back then it was called post-traumatic stress syndrome and not post-traumatic stress disorder. So I do not pretend to know what it's like to go downrange or to do any of the things that our men and women have done over there, but I know what it's like to be diagnosed with that and have people look at you and not understand when you look like you're healthy, but you have things going on that that aren't healthy, and to know how, you know, you're handed a bunch of medicine and expected to have those kind of demons just go away, and they don't. And then in 2010, I was diagnosed with a massive brain tumor and had 10 and a half hours of emergency surgery to remove it. I'm deaf in my right ear. I thank God for USC neurology team because they still work with me. I have another one right now, but it's really small. So I have a lot of tools in my toolbox with TBI and with my PTS that I've been able to beat the demons and to come out on the winning end and to heal. And I think those were just things that I was put through to help equip me to deal and help our heroes heal. And those are things that I had to go through, but I think I did that and I was put through those to be able to walk the path that I walk now and to help them and to be able to be aware of some of the things they go through and to be sensitive and able to embrace the journey that they're on and try to be a help for them. So I think I'm where I'm supposed to be, and it's not easy, and it's probably not the most lucrative choice I've ever made in my life, but that's not what life's about. And you're more satisfied and you're more fulfilled when you're doing things that matter to others, because this life is very short and very precious, and sometimes the material things in this world are not what it's all about anyway. So that's how it's all started, and that's what we're all here for.
Philip and I don't have sponsors. We don't accept money from people. We want to simply let us be a conduit for people talking to people and people helping people. Over the course of years, we've had a plethora of people saying that, you know, we want to get involved. We want to pay for this. You know, once I feel that Philip and I start taking money and sponsorship and all that, I don't think it'll be as original and honest as what we've been doing all the years. Philip and I work very hard to take care of our families and all that, but this is our way of giving back. So, I applaud what you're doing. I challenge more people to step up to the plate. Not everybody has to move at the speed you're working at. If everybody get together, walk around their town, find a stop sign that's got to be fixed, a street light, whatever it is in your town, if everybody would out and do a little thing, we can do it. You are taking a step, and we yes, but go ahead, dear.
Well, and when it comes to helping our heroes, I mean, it's like, in the nonprofit arena, it's a very ugly arena, and it's really sad because so many people are, it's all about me, and it's a very, like those organizations, some that you've mentioned, and there's a lot of them out there that have just gazillions of dollars, and they mistreat the public money, and there's a lot of those people like us that help thousands of people with very little money, and it needs to be a collaborative effort. There are so many veterans that need our help, and if we all collaborated and we all really truly held hands and shared and helped each other, there's plenty of us to do the work, and there's not plenty of us getting the resources that we need to do the work. And those of us that are digging our feet in and really trying to do the most effort with the littlest resources, if we would just all collaborate, we would help more of those that need the help. And it's a selfish industry, and the people that are exploiting it irritate me because they say it's a nonprofit industry, but the only thing about being a nonprofit is you don't pay federal taxes. You still pay all the other taxes, and you still have to pay all the health insurance and everything else. I mean, we have zero paid staff for that reason. We can't afford to pay staff because we can't afford to pay all the insurance and all the other things that go along with it. So, I mean, I haven't had a paycheck since the year 2007, and thank goodness for my mother who, you know, helps me out because we can't sustain a budget to do that because we don't have the donor base to sustain it, and all the money that comes in truly has to go back out to the veterans or we wouldn't be making any difference. But the veterans need us, and we are a nation that should be the first line of business of the people that we take care of. They're out there making sure that we can sleep in our bed at night and that people can, you know, have the benefits and the pleasures that they do to live in America. And if we can't take care of them, and, I mean, the word homeless and veteran should never be in the same sentence, period. There should not be 20 to 40 veteran suicides a day, and that's what the numbers are. It shouldn't happen. And the VA scandal should have never taken place, but it did. I mean, I was called a few months ago to a VA that will remain nameless because they were abusing a Medal of Honor recipient who almost died in that VA. Thankfully, he is home with his family and didn't pass away, but whether he had a blue ribbon around his neck or not, those kind of things should not happen in this country, period, and they do. And we all need to band together. And when someone sees me, I just want them to get off their couch and do something for a veteran's cause because, quite frankly, not everybody's going to have a passion like I do for veterans. I mean, somebody's going to have a passion for a child of a hero. Maybe somebody, you know, wants to build them a house, but not every wounded warrior is going to need a $400,000 beautiful home. Maybe somebody could break up that $400,000 and give every wounded guy 10 or 20 grand a piece so that all of them can modify their houses and all go home. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that could use just a little bit of money to modify their home so they can all go home to their families. And some of these grandiose homes are beautiful for the people that can do it, but we just got to collaborate and all do something for each of them because we're going to need to be bringing them home for years and we're deploying them again. And for somebody to say there's no boots on the ground right now, we've got over close to 1,500 on the ground wearing boots. They're not wearing flip-flops in Iraq right now fighting ISIS. They're on the ground with boots on and they're going back. And now we're doing, you know, surveillance over Syria. We're sending more over there. So for our leaders to say we don't have boots on the ground right now, that's a slap in the face of the families that are sitting here in the country knowing that their kids are on the ground right now. So it's just, you know, we got to do better by our troops. We just
Annie, let me tell you why we, the motorcycle community, are a small, insignificant group. All insignificant because we have no leadership. There's not a man or a woman in America that's willing to step up and say, I want to help the people. Every leader that Phil and I know, no, never mind Phil, every leader I know is out for something for himself. I have never yet met a man or woman in the motorcycle world that says, I'm here to help Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Harley-Davidson. I'm here to help the people get the roads better. I'm here to do all this. I don't know how many thousands of us in America, we don't have a leader.
We had one guy like that. And he happened to pass away.
He did.
But he was the
and
one.
And I've never seen him replace him, yeah.
Yeah, he was the one that hooked us up with the Office of Traffic Safety, everything. Right. So basically, I got all the connections now, and I know where all the checkpoints. which, by the way, for anybody that doesn't know, motorcycle checkpoints are against the law.
Illegal. You know, when I'm speaking to a large group, I always ask everybody, look around to your left and right. Maybe the leader that I'm looking for is right here in this audience. I don't know what state they're from. I don't care what state they're from. I don't care if it's a man or woman. I don't care anything. I somewhere in my lifetime would like to know somebody has stepped up to the plate and said, I'm here to take care of the motorcycle community. And unfortunately for myself, I'm not going to include Philip on this, I'll say it myself, I have yet to find that person. Now, you had a lunatic down there in Texas, Sputnik. I don't know if any Texas people know Sputnik. You got any from Texas know Sputnik? No. All right, well, Sputnik passed on. I thought Sputnik was somebody who cared about the motorcycle community, but he passed on. I have been waiting in California, New York, Chicago, I don't care where it is. Why don't we have a leader? Why do you think, why are we so petty? Why are we so separate? And we do it to ourselves. As long as we stay like this, the government's going to control us. The police are going to control us. We will never have any power. Voting is everything. We don't have squat. So maybe somewhere out there, somebody's listening to me thinking, I need to step up to the plate. Maybe I can do it. I cannot do it. I'm too opinionated. Philip is just too mean. He can't do it. Somewhere out there, we need to find somebody. And maybe it's the people we're talking tonight, Philip.
Maybe. I don't know. Let me see. We got someone in Chicago that might have a few questions.
Oh, Chicago, they're always thuggies. Oh, sorry about that.
708.
Well, hello, Bill. Hi.
Oh, little girl, to hear your voice again. It's so
and
nice to
hear
your
voice. How are you? It's same here. I've missed you so much.
Thank you very
much. You're welcome.
It's bumpy road.
I know.
I hope to get all my affairs together, and I'm going down to mainland Mexico in November, a place called Rocky Point, Puerto Penasco. Once I've got all my stuff behind me and all the lawyers, everybody, I'm going to be sitting down there with my toes in the sand, and because I'm very, very Irish Catholic, I'll be sitting in the shade. That Mexican sand will burn me. Mexican sun will burn me. And because I don't drink, I'll be sitting there in the shade with my toes in the sand, drinking a virgin strawberry margarita. Once I get that point, I'll be all okay. But certainly, without telling everybody, I've had a bumpy road. But you know what? You put one foot in front of the other one, you don't give in, you don't say why, you deal with it, that's all. But I want to thank, in fact, let me say right now, I cannot begin to thank all the people that, through Philip, I reached out and sent messages to me. It was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And again, I'm just going to let go with that because truly, you guys have no idea how much you meant to me. Thank you, everybody.
Did you have any? You're welcome, Bill. Did you have any questions?
You're welcome, Bill. In regards with the shoes, or in regards with.
Any questions that you have, Nora? Nah.
Okay.
6 foot tall, 225. I like long walks along the beach. I like to be held after making love. Any of those questions in there?
Of course. Now remember, 5'2", 129, and I have a mouth.
Little girl.
Yes.
Okay.
Dr.
Love is
okay.
On Thursday. We saved that for Thursday.
I know. Okay, I know.
Philip and I have been doing this for a couple of years. And all that. We think it's an outstanding idea. For me, to hear that people in different states are getting involved, it really brings excitement up in me. It renews the energy in me. I'm very, very pleased this is working on. Go ahead, anybody.
Okay, now with the shoes, because I'm collecting here on the south side of Chicago, now, is there a certain type of goal? I'm going to direct this to Ann. Is there a certain type of goal that you're looking at per state or per person that is coming into play with this? Or
hang on a second. Annie, why don't you talk some about answering those questions for her? Are you still out there?
I'm here. What was the question? I'm taking a nap.
You were doing, Annie? I think she was taking a nap.
I think so. Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Go
ahead, Annie.
I can hear you.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you. Okay. I'm on the south side of Chicago, and I'm collecting shoes for the cause. Now, is there a certain amount that you're looking for anyone that is stepping up to help? Is there a certain amount?
Actually,
or is that, or was that just directed last year in California?
No, how we have to, when they get picked up, the people that pick them up for us, we our only quote-unquote guideline is that we put 25 pair per, and I just say hefty bag because then people know trash bag. It doesn't have to be hefty brand, so don't think that it has to be hefty brand. But just like a thick trash bag so they don't poke out of the trash bag. But it's just, and it can be any kid's shoes. People, you know, adult, it doesn't have to be any certain type of shoe. So it could be kids' shoes mixed with adult shoes, but just 25 pairs of shoes per bag, and then just tie a knot in the top of the trash bag. And then,
now, is there a pickup person for my state?
Yeah, if you, I actually grew up in Palatine, but if you email
I'm top of that.
If my mom's from down by Pontiac, Bloomington area.
Okay, I'm north of that.
Okay, but anyway, if you email me, Annie@AmericanSoldierNetwork.org,
okay,
then I will coordinate with you on getting them picked up from you.
Okay, great.
Annie, the Chicago chapter of the Risen Dead MC is also willing to go out, pick up, do whatever needs to be done. So just let me know.
Yeah, I was
going to
mention that.
I can get with the friends up there.
We can connect you with the Chicago Risen Dead Motorcycle Club and get your shoes to them.
Perfect.
Okay,
perfect.
So does that mean someone from the MC would come to my home?
Nora, what's your...
They're not scary guys, but they can come to you. We can, they're working to set up an actual location to collect. And that will be, we should have that on our website, which is www.risendeadmc.com, just like it sounds, R-I-S-E-N-D-E-A-D-M-C.com. We should have those collection locations finalized here by, I'm hoping, the end of the week. We had it sorted out, and then there was an hourly, the hours with work, because we figure most people are going to donate before or after work, and this place only had business hours. So we're still working on finding a location point that can be open until like 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night to allow you, when you get off work or whatever, to swing by and drop them. Or if you need them picked up, I promise you, the guys in Chicago, they're all about helping with this thing, so they'll make the trip if need be.
Okay. That's what I'm looking at. I can have them. I have so many of them now. The only thing is I would need them picked up.
Not a problem. I'll give it to the president of that chapter, and we'll get some prospects to swing by and pick them up.
Okay. Now, do you guys have a Facebook like page or anything for your MC?
We do.
Yeah.
You can search the MC. If you search Facebook for Risen Dead MC, each chapter has its own page. When you do the search, you'll find closed groups. Those are groups for the members, so you won't be able to access them. But the actual each chapter does have a Facebook page with local information, what's going on, and things like that. Chicago is a fledgling chapter. They're still going through the approval process, et cetera, et cetera. So they're not quite as established as far as web presence, and they don't have a clubhouse yet. But you can certainly come. You can hit the website. You can just search Facebook and direct any questions or inquiries to either the Houston Butter chapter or the national page, and we'll forward them along accordingly.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Jack,
now,
I got a question.
Sorry.
Jack, I was looking at your patch, and you got something written in Latin, and fortunately my Latin is awful weak. Could you translate that for us, please?
Virtus junxit mors non separabit. It means what death has, what virtue has united. Death cannot separate. And
Jack, I'm sorry.
Pretty much.
Time, please.
Virtues junxit mores non separamit, and it means what virtue has united, death cannot separate.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you. And I see you got a bottom rocker saying worldwide. Do you have clubs in or chapters in other countries at this time?
We do. We have three chapters in Canada.
Good.
We're speaking with a chapter in Scotland. And I'm sure you're aware of all the stuff going on in Australia.
Yes.
And we had started down that road. It got pretty bleak the end of the process, and we're not quite sure what's happening there now with all of the anti-biker legislation. Right now we're in Canada and the States, and then we have a small presence in Scotland.
Good.
Yeah. Let me see about this one here. Hold on one second. 309, did you have a question or did you want to just listen? We've been on
just
for a while. Okay. Can you tell us where you're from, please?
Galesburg, Illinois.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, that deep voice is not my Russian girl calling in. It's okay. All right. Irina, wherever you are. The people from Turkey, they're listening. They said the Russians are supposed to call in tonight.
Right.
I don't know. Sometimes the lines get messed up.
And I know they have the number.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, I sent a truckload of shoes up last year, Bill. So I want to send three truckloads this year. When I walked in today, I noticed you already had some shoes in the box.
I got shoes, and I don't get it. When are we going to get a big container? We got to put something together because they're already starting to come in. Maybe you and I can get some stuff from Rusty, some flyers so we can post them onto a trash can, and we'll start. I'll bring some thick liners, what do you call them? Construction liners or whatever it is.
Trash
bags. Heavy duty ones anyway.
Bags.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's exactly the word I was looking for. I'll bring some of them in so we can start putting them together and writing on the outside of the bag how many numbers we have.
Well, you got to remember it's tied or zip tied together. And 25 pairs per bag, though.
Oh, I didn't know 25 is per bag.
25 pairs per bag.
That eliminates the contractor bags. That's way too big with the smaller
bags. Hey, guys, I have a question for you. When does the does your show get archived? Because some of the guys couldn't get the link to work for them, some of the Risen Dead guys, and they want to hear their
It goes archives. So. Goes to the archives 10 minutes after we're off the air.
Beauty, so I can get a link and get it to all the guys?
I'll give you the link right now. I'll post it on your American Soldier Network page.
Love you, because the last thing I want is anybody to be upset with me.
Annie, sometimes you got to understand. Sometimes when we go on the air, there's some people out in a truck, and I showed you a picture. They like to fuck with people.
Let me get it jacked up a little bit. But I hope Philip's got some good pictures, because in case you don't know this, the last 15 minutes of every show, Philip gets naked. So if anybody want to tune in and watch that, we have a petition between us, so I ain't concerned about it, but I just want to pass that information on to you. So
what I did, Annie, was...
Wow.
I wonder why the guys all contact you. The guys don't call me at all.
Here you go.
None of the guys call me.
Annie, you had that thing on there you posted about an hour ago. I'm going to put the link in the comments down there. I just tried to post it to you. I wrote on your timeline, so you have to go to your timeline and approve it.
Okay.
Okay, but I put it in now right below that, so go ahead and do that, and all they have to do is copy that link and paste it in their browser.
Okay.
That'll be a direct link because, as we said, the guys in the truck are fucking with everything tonight again. As soon as we get together, they decide to be a pain in our ass.
So, Annie, I'd like to talk to you guys about hopefully not this year because a little too tight, but maybe next year we can have a little get-together like in Vegas or Sturgis, Laconia, something in there where we all can kind of stay in the same hotel and get to see each other face-to-face besides this year, because we're at a lot of bike runs. We can't make them all, but it'd be interesting to see everybody's face.
Because I always feel better right now, I'll be in Vegas. You might go, but we're going to be in Vegas from the 3rd through the 7th.
Which
one? I want to do Sturgis next year because it's the 75th anniversary.
I think everybody's going, but I don't know where we could get together at Sturgis. It's already, it's almost booked completely now.
Oh, okay.
Unless we all want to meet in the big campground.
No, I think there's someone we could talk to.
Hey, tell me. Well, I'm talking about a lot of people. We're gonna be okay, but we can't get a lot of people in. Now, I have something like, just to say Vegas for just say, a hotel on the marquee, you know, welcome, the blah 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 blah. We sit down and just get to know each other.
Well,
face
I think
to
the
face.
Best place for us for that would be the Golden Nugget. Right there on...
Well, but some of the people back East Coast have maybe too much time. I'm just talking off the top of my head now, but surely by next year, I think a lot of us could get together and say, you know, hey, attaboy, you did a good job, and shake hands a little bit. Not everybody... Rusty's going to have another party right after we click the shoes.
Right.
But we can't get the guys in from New York and all. That's asking a little much of them.
Right.
So maybe we can just give some thought to... I'm just talking out loud.
Face to face.
Annie, you organize it. You organize it, okay? Because, you know, us guys will screw it all up, okay?
Okay.
There you go. See, I like that. Yes.
Yeah. So the other thing, Annie, you could do is...
What else can Annie do?
Well, no.
I don't know Annie that well.
Because,
what else can she do?
Well, because... Oh, okay.
I don't know her that well.
I know she likes to walk dogs on a beach and look at the water, but anyway... What you could do also is those guys, if they have a problem, have them send me an email, and I'll send them a copy of it.
Okay.
Let me just ask you, guys back in New York, how do you guys feel about maybe next year a little get-together, Vegas, Laconia, or Sturgis?
Well,
or...
we got a guy in Texas and a guy in New York.
Jack and Brad, yes.
Brad.
What do you guys think about maybe not?
I have no problems with it. You know, it's
Jack just got married,
issues.
So we could do like a little honeymoon for him.
Jack, do you want us all to be in your honeymoon suite with you? What do you say? What'd you say?
I said, Brad just got married. We could do like a little honeymoon party for him.
You know, I got to apologize. For some reason, I remember Gulfport, Mississippi runs. I'm having a hard time. What is really big run in Texas? Why am I having to draw a blank? I've been up at Oklahoma Big Runs, Gulfport, Mississippi Runs. What is the really monster run in Texas?
Wouldn't that be the Rot Run?
Yeah, that'd be the Rot Rally in Austin. And then there's Bandera. It's pretty big. But Rot is the one that kind of takes over. That's a pretty outstanding event.
I'm just staying low because I think if this grows enough like that, I think enough of us could get together and stay in the same hotel and have a little banquet room and just give everybody the big attaboy, talk to each other and all that. And we are bikers, number one, so we want to travel, we want to do things. But I certainly think that we all owe ourselves a good pat on the back and maybe a drink or two. Maybe, you know, maybe. What the hell?
Hey, Brad, you know what I'm thinking about all this? We have a set date for the next annual.
No, that's true. We
have. That would be awesome.
And we were thinking of changing the date anyway.
We could get all the chapters, Chicago, Tennessee, New York, Cali, San Antonio, El Paso, Austin, Vancouver, and Alberta, Steeltown. You can get them all to converge in support of American Soldier Network and the Shoe Drive. That's a whole lot of risen dead foolishness. I don't know if these guys are ready for all that.
Not this year, but I'm going to bet you by next year we
can. Well, we'd be outside of our home turf, so we'd probably be on a little bit better behavior.
Let me tell you, when we go south of the border, we have our own private security. We take over a hotel. We have...
We pay for any damages we do.
Right.
We pay for any fun we want to have. And we pay for any security we want in advance. That's how a country should be run. If we're going to tear the place, we're going to put our bills together, we're going to pay our bills, everybody's happy. I do anything in America, and man, the police are here, we're being arrested and everything in there. We're in Mexico, and we are doing things that we never could do in America. But you know what? It's a different country, and I think the word is modita. We're paying the police to, stay off our back and all that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but you're also, at the end of it, you're also paying your bills, so it's not like anybody's really got anything to complain about.
Well, I have a run in November. I'll be down in Rocky Point, Puerto Penasco. 8,000 to 10,000 Americans cross over the border for one weekend. So hotels, restaurants, gas stations, the police, the army, everybody in Mexico says, welcome to Mexico. Have a good time. Bring your friend next year. I've been going down over 10 years. Nobody I know has ever even got a ticket because there's too much
wow.
revenue. And the city turns every parking lot into a party. Well, Mexico's Mexico. You know, everybody knows. So what the hell?
When is this?
Have you guys been into Mexico at all?
It's in November. It's the second weekend in November.
Yeah, I haven't been
to
Mexico in years.
Some of you Texas boys would have to ride over to Gila Bend, Arizona, turn left, another 100 miles to the border, and then another 100 miles to the Sea of Cortez. Stop when you get to the ocean. Pretty basic there. Can't get lost. One road down, one road back.
Can't really go much farther than that either.
Well, you can circumvent around it. There's a nice run called Mazatlan, which Philly and I are trying to get down one day, and then a little further into Mexico. As far as Baja goes, Tijuana, Rosarito, Ensenada, down to Cabo, we've beaten that up. We're tired of that one. So now we're spending more of our time in mainland Mexico, where Americans really, we stand out more.
Yeah.
But we used to have a run. We
haven't been to Mexico in...
You go in a group, you stay in a group, you spend money in a group, they're all happy with that.
Pretty much. We got a few minutes before I give Rusty a call, so you got anything else you can think of, Bill?
Well, no, I would applaud everyone for the work they're doing, and I want everybody to remember it over and over and over. Charity is fine, but we got to take care of our own, the motorcycle community. Now, for many of us, it's motorcycle and vets. We're all one, so it doesn't matter, but again, I do want to ask everybody, besides helping in charity, look around your own town. Try to find something that you can prove, a stop sign, a traffic light, a speed zone, whatever it is, then march your ass down to the police station and say, I want to speak to the chief of police or the watch commander. You can set an appointment up, you go inside, speak to these people. There is no reason we need to be afraid of the police. If we would ever come together, it would be the police that's afraid of us. But we lack voting, we lack organization, we lack everything. But everybody doing a little bit can improve your local area. Again, someday, and maybe someone's listening to my voice right now, maybe there's a leader out there. Before I die, I'd like to see somebody step up to the plate, but we've just never had it, ever. Anyway, again, I want to applaud everybody for what they're doing there. Who's in Texas, Jack?
Jack's in Texas.
Jack, did you know Sputnik?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, I just, for some strange reason, he was a very strange man, but I just appreciated the way he looked at life. He would have the legislation in Texas, and he'd be there, you know, just going right at it because of the fact he believed what he was doing. So many people Philip and I talked to, they're afraid of being on the police station, or oh, what if they say things about us? So what? This is America. Why do we fear the police? If you have a problem with SDG&E, you go down to the gas electric company, see a supervisor. Have a problem with my telephone. You go down to see a supervisor at the telephone company. Why, if you have a problem with the police department, don't you go down and see a supervisor? Don't understand that. I know court's tough. Yeah. A lot of people are afraid. You're just walking in and speaking. Taxpayer to taxpayer. I encourage everybody to walk in, stand up. Let's get us our country back. If my grandfather, who's long dead, if he woke up today and he looked around, he would not know what country he's in. He couldn't recognize this America because this is not the America my grandfather had when he died. He would truly say, we had the greatest country in the world and we let it slip by. Phil and I were at a program called Save the Cross, War Memorial. A small group of atheists want we Christians, Jews, and Muslims to take this cross off of War Memorial because these atheists, this very small, insignificant group, want it down. Now, I acknowledge their right to protest because they are veterans. I acknowledge their right to say what they want to say because they're Americans. But as an American myself and as a Christian myself, that cross ain't coming down. This is just one of many little things I'm doing, and they're saying, I'm tired of people change. Why should we have to change? How many of us are out there? I can't even, there's thousands and thousands of us.
There's 2.3 million of us registered here.
2.3 million, and what are we doing? We're not doing a damn thing. And I swear to you, if a man or woman would step forward, I'd support them, I'd endorse them, I'd back them. We need somebody a little bit more, Phil and I, we need somebody to set the bar a lot higher than Phil and I are. But somebody out there, I believe, in my lifetime. All right, sorry for the commercial, blah, 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 horseshit. But maybe the person I'm speaking to is on tonight, Phil. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's not horseshit. I think it's one of those things that you know, they come around, you know, those kind of people come around once in a while, and, you know, they're few and far between. You know, Jack, not to blow sunshine up his kilt or anything, but, you know, in terms of organization and speaking skills, he's one of those rare people that, you know, when he talks, people listen, and
mm-hmm.
he has an ability to make sense to all different kinds of people. So he gets his point across effectively. But like I said, those people are rare, and they're few and far between. So
that's why I'm hoping today I'd like to meet all you people face to face and shake your hands. I sometimes feel like we're all doing something, but man, if we'd ever come together somehow.
Well,
I think you're right.
We have a luxury in Texas. I mean, we really have fairly unrestricted. I shouldn't say unrestricted, but things are a lot more lax, and we're able to enjoy writing without as much of without being as encumbered as in other states. In California, I used to live in Vegas, and I'd go to party on the Saint Valley and to make the ride, and the whole time I was there, I was just absolutely almost paranoid about how long it was going to take before, you know, I got pulled over for whatever I didn't know whatever law I didn't know I violated. And, I encourage anybody listening from Texas that rides, make sure you're watching the legislation that's trying to be pushed through, because it's relaxed, because people have stepped in and stopped the legislation here that has been proposed. If we get lazy and we just step back and let it unfold around us, like I said earlier, it's that slow erosion of civil liberties. And that if you look around 5, 6, 7 years later, you're like, what happened? Where, you know, I remember 5 years ago when I could ride and enjoy myself, but now, you know, I'm saddled with that helmet, I got to have the blinkers, I got to have a front fender that's 14 inches long, I can't have more than a 21-inch front tire. You know, it's that slow erosion and that slow desensitization to what's happening around you that bites you in the ass when you're not looking. So I encourage everyone in Texas that's listening, please make sure you're aware of the legislation that they're trying to push through, because I promise, if we're not careful, it will happen.
I want to tell you guys, last weekend, Phil and I were at an event. We came off the freeway. We waited for this large club to pass us up. We gave them about 1 minute. We jumped right on their tail hard, because as I got close to the event, every one of these club people were pulled over. They simply ran out of cops, couldn't get our four bikes going in there. Now, I heard from people there that were up there, over 100 motorcycles were put on the flatbed trucks and taken away for every violation you can imagine. When Phil and I left the big event, a club took off, and we said, let's go. So about a minute behind the big club getting out of here, we rolled hard. Every one of those guys were side of the road all jacked up. We slid on through. This is not the world I want to live in. I'm a veteran. This is not why I went into the military. I wanted a free America, and yet I have to play a cat-and-mouse game. I have to play a chess game to get in and out so I don't get stopped, harassed. I got nothing to hide. I don't give a shit about that, but why should I, American, have to judge every mood I go, every road I take, every exit?
You know,
you planned the back road so we could get by most of the shit last night.
I'm
an American. Why do I go to the back door?
I always take, it's true. I always take the back routes but then they're catching on to that back route now. So next time, there's another way into where we were, so.
Or you take 100 motorcycles and put them on a flatbed, take them out. Come on, it's just... It's obscene, and
what
I still go because I will not give in, but it wears me down. I'm sure in Texas you're the same. Sometimes you go, I'm just tired.
What's that canyon down? Topanga Canyon? Am I pronouncing that correctly? Is that right?
Yes, it's Topanga Canyon.
I used to, that was, whenever we'd ride in, that was an absolute, it had to be done. I had to, for months and months and months on end, until it became a procession of road stops. Until it became a procession of inspections. And I haven't ridden Topanga Canyon in 7 years, 8 years, because it just, the aggravation became more than the enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame.
And you know, I got to tell you, what's another sore spot to me is, I don't like taking a passenger with me. I don't like the humiliation. I don't like my passenger getting stopped and checked and all that. I don't mind if Philly gets thrown on the ground and all that. Let them kick him around. That's okay. I'm all right with that. But I don't like any of our women going with us. It just is another source of, I feel like I'm an American. I should have to put up with this. And besides that, what crime has the passenger ever done? Just sitting behind the motorcycle. We got to check them for what? Check the driver over if you want. I don't understand that. It's another thing I'm irritated. Why are they treating my passengers, why are they treating our women, our sisters, daughters, wives, why are they treating them like this? Another real source of irritation to me. Eh, what the hell, though? Doesn't mean we'll quit riding, because we will not quit riding. I know in New York and Texas, you're going to do your best to hang it up here. I know we're going to do our best. We're not going to give in, but honest to God, does it bug anybody beside me or what?
Absolutely.
Well, in New York, it's pretty restrictive here, you know, and maybe I don't know that it's restrictive, but maybe it's you know, when I see a lot of guys get pulled over, like when I'm going to work or coming home, or you know,
they still jacking with them on 90. Are they still running those checkpoints over there on 95?
You know what? I try and stay off 95, so I couldn't really tell you.
Yeah, that's why everybody stays off 95.
Yeah. No, I go, you know,
first of all, America, the world. We love America. We're not going anywhere. Every one of us fits. Every one of us Americans, we're not going anywhere. So if anybody out there thinks that I'm bad-mouthing America, I am not. I love this country. I'm a bit irritated with this government. I just want to make that real clear. So if anybody thinks that, well, Bill's whining, I am not whining about America. I love this country. But I think we can do better, guys.
Well, I don't disagree with that statement at all. I think there's, like Jack said, there's been a slow erosion of civil liberties over the years, and you know, we collectively as a society have just kind of let it happen. And at some point, you know, collectively as a society, we're going to have to sit there and go, you know what, this is fucked up. We need to change it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just, you know, it's getting to that point where people are just, you know, fed up with you know, the way our state, our city, state, and federal governments are operating.
There's a train of thought called framers intent, and if you really want to, I don't know, personally, it still makes the hairs on the back of my neck tingle, but if you really want to read something and just sit and think about it, reread the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, and sit and think it long and hard about what the intent was when it was written, not how we twisted it because of special interest groups and because of lobbyists and because of corporate greed, et cetera. Look at what we were supposed to have in America when it was written, and look at what we have now. And, you know, the original signers and the original framers of our government did not intend for it to look like it looks today. I believe that with all my heart. We just gave it
away. I want you to know that Phil gave me a copy of that, and I actually have it right on my headboard on my bed. He gave that to me over a year ago, and every now and then I read it and I go, "Whoa, what happened? What the hell happened?" So you made an excellent point there, my friend.
I'm gonna send Bill Rusty a text, Bill.
All right.
And
does everybody here know Rusty?
Not personally, just by reputation.
Well, if you don't know him, I'm going to point out to you. I'm a little taller than he is. I've got bigger arms. I've got bigger arms than him, and I got a flat stomach. Wait, what the hell are you laughing for? These people don't know me. it's an inside joke. Whenever KO and Russ and I get together, she says to him, "Look how tall Bill's getting. Look at Bill's big arms." He goes, "What are you, crazy?" It's a very inside joke there, folks. Rusty is truly a gentle giant.
Yeah, we took a picture, you know, Bill, like we always do.
Yeah.
And he told Emilio, "Wait, you get on this side, we're going to put the little guy in the middle."
He and I got into a disagreement a while back, and one of his club people gave me a folding metal chair. I said, "I don't need no metal chair." They said, no, Bill, undo the chair so you can step on it so you can look him in the face. Wrong. Just wrong. Man, he's a big boy. Of course, I was right about the argument.
By the way, guys, Jack sometimes is in California for work trips. So if you want, when he's out here, we can coordinate a Illusion Cycles visit and y'all can meet.
Jack, you do male escort service? What do you do?
Yeah, business is hard right now. Real, real hard. every once in a while I find myself out in the area. And I tried last time I was there like hell to get over there. And there was just no way around. It was a two-day trip, and I was just hammered, so I didn't get to get by. So I would absolutely like that. I'd like to sit down and meet y'all and swap stories.
And if it works out, Bill happens to own Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. So if you get lost, all you got to do is ask. They'll tell you right where to go.
Now listen, we're going to have dinner. We got a problem here. Okay, Rusty and a bunch of his people all eat that sushi shit. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. So if we're going to go for a restaurant, we're going to have an argument on that. I don't want no sushi. Huh? You guys, sushi or you meat and potatoes?
Sushi. I'm not a sushi guy. I'm a meat and potatoes guy.
Thank God. I don't know if it's Orange County or L.A. I don't know what the problem is up there. Right,
I'm gonna,
we don't need sushi down here.
I'm going to dial them up, see if we can get them on
the
phone.
We'll give
them
a ring, a ding, ding, the phone, and dingy, two ring a dingy.
Trying to call Rusty right now. It's
hello.
Hello, Rusty.
Yes.
Bill Kennedy, buddy. How are we doing tonight?
Good, man. How you doing, Bill?
Been so long since I've seen you, right? 2 days?
Yeah, like 2 days.
Listen, yeah. Buddy, you got a few minutes to talk because we have a lot of people online and they got a lot of questions they want to ask you, okay? How much time
do
you got?
Yeah, I can go about 15 maybe.
Oh, man,
cool?
So you don't want me to talk at all, huh? All right, then.
I know, huh?
Okay, we got Rusty Coons on. We got from Jack from Texas, and we got Brad, and we got Annie.
Right.
Annie, why don't you jump on and start the conversation off with Rusty, and Brad and Jack jump in, and Phil and I will try to stay out of the conversation. First of all, Rusty, quickly, tell KO I miss her and I love her, okay?
I will.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Rusty. Hey, Rusty, it's Annie. We're talking shoes, buddy.
Hey, what are you doing there, Annie?
Well, we've been talking shoes all night, kicking off the shoe drive again. So first of all, thank you and KO for hosting once again. I know we're going to kick butt this year.
Oh, yeah, we're going to expand this thing nationwide.
And
we've
got on Jack in Texas and Brad in New York from the Risen Dead MC who've told their whole club that they've got to collect shoes. So they've been on promoting shoes tonight with us. So the boys are here.
Nice. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I think it's a really, really good one. Very good charity.
And I know people are already collecting shoes. We've had some calls in from Chicago, and so now you can talk how you love shoes since your wife, we all know, loves shoes.
Oh, I know, man.
If
we just got her closet and emptied it, we could take care of everything, you know? We'd need a few trucks,
heels,
though, you know?
I think her heels would poke through all the trash bags.
Yeah, I think she thinks she's Imelda Marcos or something, you know? At our house, we have a walk-in closet in the bedroom, and it's her closet. And it's her shoes. and the dogs go in and drag her shoes out all the time. So anyhow, yeah, this is a really, really great cause. I remember we were at the hospital last year, and the soldiers, you know, were just really excited. You know, we had a lot of cool gifts for them. I think we can really expand on that and turn it into a really growing annual thing that just gets bigger and bigger. And it'll do
Press
more to help you check. You know?
Press second, so he typed in, what will be the time frame on this shoe drive? I know some of us are already starting already. Phil and I have been collecting. We have over 100 pairs down here already. But what will be the final closing date, which will be bringing all the shoes up to your place, I guess?
November 9th, isn't it?
Yeah, the California party at Rusty's is November 9th. In Texas, it's going to be, I think, November 2nd, but Jack and I are still conversing on that date.
Uh-huh.
I've been talking to a couple of the local Harley Davidson dealers to see which ones want to get on board and which ones will do the most with it. Kind of put a challenge out to the Harley Davidson of the Woodlands, Harley Davidson of Kingwood, Texan Harley Davidson, all the dealerships up here on the north side of Houston. And I'm thinking probably close it out a week beforehand. That way I can fulfill selfish interest and be there for the November 9th party as well.
So we're
and then we can have collection stations all across the country where there doesn't even have to be an event, where they can just store the shoes and the truck can go by and pick them up, you know, any time.
Right. We'll end it all regardless by the November 9th date.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have locations, and again, our website will be updated shortly, but in Knoxville, in New York City, Houston, Austin, El Paso, San Antonio, Chicago, Orange County, Brad, am I forgetting anybody?
Well, as a surprise, I'm not supposed to, I can't list a name yet. But I have a corporate sponsor in the works who's very thrilled with the idea of participating in this, and they have offices in Boston, New York, Washington, Chicago, L.A., Houston, and a few other places throughout the country. And they're looking to set up they're looking to set up additional collection points and distribute the information throughout the company so that they can come and help distribute and help give shoes to the cause. In New York, we've besides the corporate one that they're just going through their legal department or whatever it is that they need to do. Like Jack, I've done the local Harley dealers. I even have a friend who's distributing the flyer up at West Point, which I think is should turn out well. And then local Boy Scout troops and the churches and the bars and whatever, wherever we can get the flyers in, and you know we see where it goes. But I think you know we've got New York and Texas pretty well covered.
Aside from the Risen Den Clubhouse here in Houston, we'll have, if you go to www.risendenmc.com, by the end of the week, we'll have a list of donation locations. We'll also, if you're somewhere and you can't get the shoes delivered, we have an operating chapter there. We will send our prospects out to pick up from you. We have to cap the general area. Probably we'll say within 60 square miles of a central point. But the young lady was asking earlier about Chicago, we'll send the prospects out to pick up the shoes in Chicago and all the other areas where we have chapters. So if you can't get up to a clubhouse or to a donation point, shoot an email to one of the chapters close to you or even to just the national website on Facebook or on the website, and we'll disseminate the information through the chapters to get them picked up.
And I know we've got Harley Davidson in San Diego and Indian Motorcycle in San Diego and all the Victorville Barstow areas are Victorville Harley Davidson's collecting. and LA Film School is collecting, and those will all be listed on the American Soldier Network website too. So, Rusty, I think we're already tripled in size this year.
Nice. Very nice. I know it's going to grow between now and then even more.
Oh, yes.
There's even people that collected last year that still have shoes. You know, they missed the date. They got. I think some people did get some to us and collected more. Other people missed it and saved them. So, yeah, it's gonna keep growing. I think every year it's just going to get more visible and become a really good thing, you know?
You know, Rusty, I know you're on a bit of a time constraint, so I want to ask you, first I want to say congratulations. I know you finished shooting for the new episodes for the Sons of Anarchy. I don't want you to share anything with us, and I'm just supposed to. Congratulations. I know you're going to expand your role. Everybody watch him on the Sons of Anarchy. But I do want to ask you, can you tell us just a little bit of what your band's doing? What's Attica going to do this year?
Yeah, you know, it's we took a hiatus from touring this year. Last year I was flying back and forth between, you know, the filming and touring, and it was basically all out of my pocket because that's my responsibility, you know. And it wore me out. So what I did is I decided not to tour this year while I'm shooting. But what we did do is right after, I think it's October 26th, we're doing our first show this year with the Knotfest up in DeVore. It's a three-day festival. It's headlined by Slipknot, 60 of the biggest metal bands in the world there over 3 days. And it's going to be a pretty big show, and we've wrote a lot of new music, so we're going to be debuting at six or more of the new songs at the show on the 26th of October.
Rusty, at the show at DeVore, will that new music be able for purchase, or will that be coming a little further down the road?
No, I don't think we're going to have any for purchase, although in the past, when we toured Mayhem, we did sell some of the unreleased stuff then last year, so there's a possibility there could be, you know, a six pack, like an EP or something that's not released, but I can't guarantee that. We're going to debut it, and I know that there's going to be an album coming out in the spring that's going to have all the new stuff on it, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay, Rusty, you are running a motorcycle shop, Illusion Motorcycles, Custom Motorcycles. You're on a TV program for the whole season. And you got musical group going on. Do you sleep, or did you give that up?
I wish I didn't sleep. I'd get more done. But you know, it's fun being busy. You know, it's not that overwhelming. You just kind of have to schedule everything, and I'm enjoying it because I get to be creative on a lot of different fronts. I like fabricating and making things, inventing things for vehicles and other things. And I like playing music, you know, and I love doing the TV show stuff. So it's really a lot of fun.
You know, a lot of people have asked me, what exactly is the connection that KO does? Because KO seems to do a little bit of everything. Can you describe, I know you're doing a lot of, how important is KO to you? How much does she run of your life, sir?
Oh, she's involved in everything. It's scheduling, you know, keeping track of all that stuff, you know, errands, you know, creativity. She's came up with great ideas, you know, different charities that we do. She's right in the middle of everything, and she's very integral to all of it.
And we always would think that we see the guy up front and all that, and you certainly are up front as big as you are. But I just want to bring that up to you because I know KO personally. Some of us people do. She's a phenomenal young lady, and I want to make sure she get her kudos on that.
Like they say in the game of chess, it's very important because the queen protects the king.
Well, very good.
She does. Well, let me tell you, she has done it, and she does, and she still is. Yeah.
She's my girl.
She's amazing.
She's my girl, sister.
Very giving. Very loyal, just a great, great person. There's not an ounce of selfishness in her anywhere, you know.
She's always a lady.
She's amazing.
And she's always a lady.
She is. Total class.
We have a few more minutes, Rusty. I know you put it, you made us promise
you
got to go.
Yeah, Rusty? I got a few more minutes. I'm here. I got a few
Texas,
more minutes.
Texas, New York, anybody, you want to ask a few questions? I'll pull back on the questions. Jump in, anybody.
I'm just having a great time listening. It's all good for me.
Fuck it, I'll take over the show. Ask him questions.
You know, right on, Bill.
One of the things I wanted to say was, I think it's in every industry or special interest, you always have iconic figures, and undisputedly, you're one of those for this community. And I got to applaud you and say thank you for the way you've leveraged your that status, as you will, if you will, as an icon, to help so many different efforts and so much of the philanthropic work that you do. I hope that in some ways that will carry forward and maybe inspire other people to step up and say, hey, I can make a difference here in my local communities, or, you know, if they have the wherewithal nationwide. But you really ought to be complimented and applauded. And I think it's outstanding that you're able to do what you've done using your status. So thank you.
Well, thanks. You know what? There's a friend of mine. You all know who he is, Danny Trejo. And Danny Trejo has been helping people for at least 30 years, maybe more, in recovery and all aspects. He says every good thing that's happened to him in his life has been a direct result of helping others. And it's true. And, you know, it not only feels good, it is good, you know, and it's just a great thing to be able to help people. And there's a lot of stuff we could do out there for the soldiers, the children, and the animals, you know, and that's what I want to do, and that's what I do.
Russell, I'll tell you about Danny real quick. I know you were working that weekend. In fact, Amelia was working. Danny came down to when I spoke at the Save the Cross, Mount Soledad. When I were down there, Danny had no problem coming down, and of all crazy things, and don't blame this on me, Danny spoke, and then I spoke, and it started pouring ass rain on us. It rained all the way back. I go, what the hell is this? Danny was stand up. He rode in the rain. No attitude. He wanted nothing in the way of special attention, all that. Just a stand up guy. So if people don't know Danny, he plays today. He's also on the TV program Sons of Anarchy. But what a stand up guy he is. So that's definitely a good guy.
Yeah, he's got the Machete, movies, and he's done a ton of movies all over the place. He's busy all the time. He's just a really generous, giving person. And, that's the kind of people that I admire, you know.
I've always found it amazing to see when people of you know, the stature of you, Rusty and Danny and others like you, when you do things and it's just quiet and it's in the background and you're just getting it done, that's always an amazing thing to say, that you would take time out of it, because you know, it's obvious that you have an incredibly busy schedule between the filming and the music and the cycle shop, and, you know, so that kind of a schedule would, you know, kill most normal humans.
It almost killed me a couple times.
So then to see you, you know, at like the Hellraisers and Humidor fundraiser, you know, for mm-hmm. for an animal charity, is and just, you know, unassuming unassuming as somebody your size can be, and just getting it done is really just an amazing thing to say. Instead of, you know, there's, you know, for every one or two of you, there's like dozens of you know, other notable people who are like, well, look at me, look what I've done this week, or, you know, look what charity I'm jumping on now. You know, it's more heartwarming to see somebody just, you know, unassumingly go about their business and helping where they can. So, like Jack said, I applaud you for that. That's amazing.
You know, Rusty, when we were down there with Danny at Mount Soledad.
Oh, shit, don't say that.
No, I'm not going to talk about that.
All right.
He was surprised because he didn't know that monument was there. He said he's lived here all his life and he didn't know that monument was there. And he said that anything that they needed for that monument, he's on board.
Yeah. I'll tell a story. Danny was saying, Bill, now that he's made in Hollywood his face, he says there's room for me in Hollywood with my face. Now, what did he mean by that? You've seen his face.
I also told him you had the perfect face for radio. So
I belong on radio, folks. I really do. And he says, right with his on. Face, make it, Bill, you can make it. I went, wow. Yeah. What the hell?
All right, you guys. Well, I gotta go. I'm really glad that I got to speak to you guys,
buddy. I'm always glad to hear you. Yeah.
Oh, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, thanks, Andy, and all you guys for all the good you're doing, man. Really, we're gonna do a lot this year. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and we're gonna help a lot of people.
See you soon, buddy.
All right.
Okay. We'll see you guys later. Take care.
Good night, Rusty. I'll talk to you soon.
Andy, let me address that little problem you said your people are having. Sometimes if they try it on their phone, a lot of times their phone is their personal device. So sometimes their settings, because of the system that we have and the server that we go through, they have advertising sometimes. And sometimes, like what I pay for, we don't get the advertising. But when they go through the server, they'll pick up stuff that won't let them get to it unless they click on that link. So basically, the link that I gave you with the 673-0331, that's the good link. If they just type that in Google, and their settings are okay, they should be able to get right to the show. If not, they can go back and they can go on the show page. They sign into the show page or become a follower, they'll get the automatic notify where they can go right to whatever show they want to go to. There's 398 shows that they can listen to if they want to for the last few years we've been on. But in order to get the link that we've got tonight, it should be, once you get on the page and you see the picture of me and Bill standing there, and you scroll down, you'll see where it says, listen to newest or oldest shows. If you click on the newer, it'll come up for the last month.
You know, I want you people to understand. Thank you for explaining that, because I still don't understand what the hell you said, but I'm hoping these people do. But talk to Rusty for the first time. This guy did not have an ego. He has no attitude. We've known each other 20-plus years. This is who he is. First and foremost, he's a motorcyclist, and I mean that. Will you get a chance to talk to him in person, just like you talked to him on the phone? Sit down, how you doing?
Bring
blah,
your chair.
Blah, blah. Well, don't bring my chair. I want to say very quickly, can you tell the people how many countries have called in tonight?
Well, do you mean how many people are listening?
Well, that whatever you want. I'd like to hear the foreign countries.
Sure.
Because my Russian girl didn't call in.
Right now we're
Irina.
France, Germany, Canada, Ukraine, Australia, the United Kingdom, Russia, Moldova, and Turkey. Germany, Brazil, India, Mexico, Canada.
Where the hell's my Russian girlfriend? All right. Sorry.
Russia. Russian people in Russia are listening right now, Bill.
Marina's supposed to be talking, but...
New Zealand, Australia, the United Kingdom.
France.
They're all over.
What we're to understand, too, is not everybody can tune into the show when we're talking because of the time constraints. So they will be picking up the show, archiving, and finding out tomorrow when they wake up or whatever. So even though that we're not getting a lot of foreigners tonight, I don't know why, they're listening to the show. They'll listen to everything you have to say.
Yeah, because like people right now using Chrome, Google Chrome, there's 26,329 people. On Safari, there's 20,963. Firefox has 16,346. Internet Explorer is 12,393. Mobile Safari is 6203. The GSA is 1671. Bing Preview is 1622. Opera is 953. Chrome OS is 398. Mobile, right now there's 180 people listening on their phone. Just so everybody knows, and by operating systems with Windows, we have 42,000. For Android, we have 15,139. The iPhone, we have 13,499. On the Mac, we have 8,494. On iPads, we have 5,348. On Linux, we have 1,458. Other Unix, we have 497. iPod, 202. BlackBerry, we got 64. The BB10, we got 59. So it just depends on how your phone is set up. If your system is set up to get all this, you might have to go in and allow it to be viewed.
The reason I asked Phil to do that, because people say, well, Bill seemed to speak a lot. I do speak an awful lot because Phil really is, beside being the co-host, he is the technician. He's the guy that's running everything. He's taking the bugs out of everything. He's helping people left and right. So when people call in, well, how come Phil doesn't talk as much as Bill? Phil is running the show because they won't let me near nothing. I speak in the microphone. I'm not allowed to touch a damn thing. I'll blow it up. So I just want to understand, we're together. It's not one has more than the other one. If anything, Phil does all the technical horse shit that I don't know about or care about. But anybody wants to speak to Phil only, call Phil directly.
Yeah, it's just like this. If you want to get a hold of Bill, a lot of times, unless you call the shop, and if he happens to be there, otherwise you can get a hold of me and I'll get a message to him because Bill doesn't carry a cell phone.
I don't want a cell phone.
He doesn't know how to use a computer.
I don't want a computer. I don't have email. I don't have a damn thing. Once I leave the house, that's it. Until I get where I'm going, you don't know where I am. But everybody knows all my friends, so they can reach me that way. I really think that this is something, you people that have radios in your motorcycle, I don't begrudge you. I don't want to hear any music. I want to be alone with my thoughts when I ride down the road. I don't want to be interrupted. I don't want my favorite song come in, but no. It is so important for me, and a little bit of zen here for a second, to follow my breathing pattern with the rumble of my motorcycle.
Well, you know, like...
I want to be
like
one.
For me, Bill, I like the sound of a roaring V-twin beneath my testicles when I ride down the freeway.
Now, how did I feel? We're talking about two different things here. I'm talking about zen. Well, that's why he doesn't speak too much. You know that, folks? And I hope you weren't offended by that young, innocent girl like you with him talking like that.
You know, one of the favorite... Out of all the rides and rallies and stuff, one of the most enjoyable times I've ever spent was literally getting on my bike on a Thursday and saying, hey, I'm going to go ride. It's Thursday after Friday off. I'm going to ride Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Get home Sunday. Left Vegas, just point his board. Started making right-hand turns every three or four turns. It was just a random ride. 2 weeks later, I was still riding. Two or three nights a week, I'd sleep wherever. Two or three nights a week, I'd stop at a hotel because I smelled like something dead and rotten. No cell phone, you know, just the GPS to finally get me somewhere I needed to be to get me home. But if you haven't done that, I can't tell you how incredible it is to just completely untie at this time when everybody's so chained down digitally to cell phones and email and Facebook and Twitter, and to just completely untie and disappear for two or three weeks on your bike.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's what it's about.
I went to Sturgis when I came home from 1973. I left without a map. What for? I got to find Sturgis. It didn't bother me at all. I didn't have a map. My second trip to Sturgis, I pulled into a KOA camp. Everybody hears quickly. Two brothers from Kansas came down on the Yamahas. They went around the KOA campground. They said, hey, can we join you? I said, of course. A young couple from Canada came down on a Kawasaki, I think. They were honeymooning. Went around the campground, hey, can we join you? Absolutely. Later, a guy from New York on his BMW with his daughter going to California went into the campground, drove around, can we join you? Absolutely. We shared food. We shared everything. Now, in the morning, we all said goodbye. We were absolute total strangers, but being on the road, being on motorcycles, not just a Harley-Davidson, being on motorcycles, that truly is the best example I give of brotherhood. Total strangers coming together, then in the morning saying goodbye. That's a special feeling.
Absolutely.
For me.
Well, and that note, then, you know, I invite you guys back maybe a couple of weeks, maybe whenever you feel. Just you got my contact information from Annie, so just send me a text ahead of time, and I'll make arrangements to we'll have you on the show. But I'm going to tell
thank you.
Right now, Bill.
Oh, good. I'll sing for a little bit.
No.
Happy
We're gonna do a little. Charlie Baker.
Until we meet.
We're gonna do a little
again.
Charlie Baker. This guy here
happy
is a friend of ours. He's also a.
You're trying to shut my singing down again, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know what? Just because you don't have a musical ear. Davidson, man.
Let me
what are you doing?
Oh, they're screwing with it.
Shimmer.